Thank you for stopping by, Henrik here. Hope you're having a good evening. We have a short update for you this evening. You might have followed some of the updates on the changes with Identity Europa. The organization now has new leadership, and Reinhard Wolf, who also actually works with us, that now also has doxed himself as Patrick Casey, has assumed the role as the head of the organization. So Patrick is here with us to talk about what's been going on. So both existing members within the organization and, of course, people on the outside know what has happened and what's going on and what's happened here basically over the last few days. So, Patrick, give us the details, as it were.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the show, Henrik. I'm a big-time fan of Red Ice, as I think a lot of people know.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Right, but and first of all, I did decide to start using my real name. Contrary to what many might think, my real name was never Reinhard Wolf. I know it might look like a Reinhard Wolf to some. Essentially, what's happened is that Eli Mosley has resigned as the CEO of Identity Europa, and I was asked to step up and assume the position, and I did.
That's the short of it, obviously. So is there anything people should know in the background of things in terms of what happened? Should people be worried? Is there anything? Is it tumultuous? What's going on that front?
So the transition has been pretty smooth for the most part. There have been a lot of rumors going around, and I think that's totally understandable given the fact that when a transition like this happens, when there's a new CEO for an organization like Identity Europa, people are going to be asking questions. People are going to be concerned that perhaps there's going to be a big change in rhetoric, a change in message, and so forth. But anyone who has supported Identity Europa since we were created in May of 2016 is going to continue to support IE most likely going forward. We have the same message, we have the same goal, and so forth, and none of that's going to change. I've had people ask me if Identity Europa is going to officially break away from the alt-right. Now, I don't exactly know what that would entail, given that the alt-right isn't, an official membership organization and so forth. We do like the term identitarian. We feel like that is the most specific and defining term for our organization and what we're doing. So we'll probably continue to identify as identitarians. I've had people ask me if IE members are going to be able to attend AMREN, attend TRS meetups, and so forth. And the answer, of course, is yes. We're still going to be about white identity, about representing the interests of people of European heritage here in America. And so nothing has really changed in that regard.
Yeah, there's never been, as far as I can correct me if I'm wrong, but there's never been any direction that's been made over members, right, of what they can do. I mean, unless they're representatives of the organization at that particular time, right?
Yeah, more or less. I mean, we do have standards that members of Identity Europa are expected to uphold and so forth. One thing I will say, though, is that after Charlottesville, we really did a lot of thinking about, what happened, what went wrong, and whether or not we want to do something similar in the future. So this was a decision that was made before I even, was nominated as the CEO. What we essentially determined is that doing these big public rallies where anyone can show up and they're announced beforehand and so forth isn't exactly what we want to do going forward. There was actually a really great event before Unite the Right we call Charlottesville One. In that event, we pretty much planned everything privately behind the scenes, and it wasn't announced. So that means that we had hundreds of people that still showed up, but we were able to control the branding. We were able to control, make sure that everyone that attended was on the same page and wasn't going to be, waving around swastika flags and so forth. And that essentially is kind of what we're looking to emulate more of in the future. Private, invite-only events for mostly IE members, but, select others as well who are kind of on board with the identitarian message that we're going for. So that, in terms of policy change, that's might be what people are getting at. But again, that's not anything new. That's something that we, a conclusion that we reached pretty soon after Charlottesville, too.
Yeah, there seems to be, obviously, for obvious reasons, a seminal point in the history and development of this movement, whatever name you want to put on it, Charlottesville. And would you say most members are in agreement with that, that something has to be kind of done a little bit differently?
Yeah, absolutely. I think most people in IE are kind of on the same page about most issues. There are many other organizations that people can join if they feel that what IE is doing is not the best way, the best way forward and so forth. But for that reason, the people in IE tend to have similar opinions on these things. And as far as the big rallies go, I think most people understand that what happened at Charlottesville with Unite the Right really can't happen again. Now, obviously, you know, the authorities and the establishment conspired against us, denied us our civil liberties, pushed us into Antifa. So it's not really our fault.
No, it's not.
That the you know, rally turned out disastrously. The blame is ultimately to be laid for the establishment, essentially. However, we do have to consider that going into liberal strongholds, holding huge rallies that are, you know, going to essentially involve some degree of violence, even when the police show up and do their jobs, quite often, you know, there are going to be skirmishes that break out and so forth, generally instigated by Antifa. And we have to, so essentially we have to understand that going in and creating a very chaotic situation is going to have some serious ramifications. So we can't go into these liberal areas and essentially repeat what happened with Unite the Right. One big component to all of this that we need to keep in mind, you know, you can talk about optics, you can talk about all of the other stuff as well, is that if you piss people off enough, you're going to end up in a pretty poor situation legally. Obviously, we didn't really do anything wrong at Unite the Right, but nevertheless, we are facing some very serious lawsuits. Identity Europa is named in one, and other individuals such as Nathan D'Amigo, Eli Mosley are named in multiple. So we do have to essentially just kind of reconsider what we want to do. Do we want to go into liberal areas? Do we want to just piss people off to get attention, to get news coverage, and so forth? And the fact that we're in these, you know, very serious lawsuits is evidence of the fact that we can't have that approach going forward. We want to build something in IE that's going to last for decades, for generations, and so on. And we're not going to be able to do that if we're just trying to kick the hornet's nest to get attention.
Do you think that these lawsuits could actually be the end of the organization? Is there whether that's kind of a financial load that's put on it or? Yeah, let's say something else comes out of it that basically, like, I don't know, I mean, they're trying to deem some of these groups as terrorist organizations, and that would effectively dissolve it the same way the National Action was in the UK. What's the possibility of that, do you think?
Well, I think the possibility of us losing the lawsuit is quite slim. Essentially, the lawsuit alleges that we conspired to deny the protesters their civil liberties. And, I mean, it's completely ridiculous because that's essentially what Antifa does to us. They want to show up and deny us our First Amendment rights by the use of violence, essentially. At Unite the Right, I saw people wielding hammers. They were throwing bottles filled with acid. These people are completely, you know, out of touch with, you know, normal human behavior and so forth. So essentially, they're claiming that what they did to us, we tried to do to them. I think it's going to be hard for them to prove that to us in court, but nevertheless, if the case is not dismissed, this could, you know, continue for quite some time. So essentially, our main concern with all of this is funding our legal battle. So we have our Patreon set up, and if anyone is interested in helping us, you know, defeat this lawsuit, then I would please ask you to go and donate. All of the proceeds from our Patreon account are going towards the lawsuit, and so you're going to know exactly where your money's going to.
When did you join first? I almost said Reinhardt. Patrick, I got to get used to that now. So, when did you join IE first?
So I joined around the time that IE was formed. This was back in May of 2016. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend the first event they did up there in Berkeley. But, you know, I was, in the organization at the time, and I enjoyed watching it from afar.
Cool. So do you feel that you have just been kind of placed in this role? Or do you feel that it was like a goal that you wanted to kind of get higher up in the organization to begin with?
Well, when I first joined, that was kind of around the same time I got hired by you guys at Red Ice. So the fact that I had an employer who wouldn't fire me for doing these kinds of things did give me the freedom to go to events, to be a little more public than the average person. So, yeah, I wanted to contribute as much as I could, essentially. And over time, I kind of worked my way up to, you know, the third, second in command. I had the title of chief of staff prior to the recent transition. But around the time that Eli was given the position by Nathan, I totally supported it. I didn't push for the position. I thought, you know, Eli was obviously very driven and so forth. So I figured that, you know, if we have someone else who's willing to do it, then by all means. I was already doing quite a bit for the organization at the time, and I didn't feel the need to try to get in to be the guy. But after Eli made the decision to resign and I was asked to do it, I stepped up.
Let's talk a bit about if there's any other, I guess, goals in the future, how you see things. Do you want to restructure anything, or do you want to kind of steady-as-she-goes approach to IE or any other big plans or changes that you have?
Well, essentially what I want to do is I want to do more of what we're already doing in terms of activism in the form of flyering, banner drops, flash demonstrations, private events like Charlottesville One. And I want to take those things, do them more frequently, and I want to, I want to make them bigger, essentially. Bigger banner drops, you know, more people at these flash mobs, more colleges hit by, during Project Siege and so forth. I also want the community aspect of Identity Europa to be expanded as well. I want there to be more meetups. I want there to be, fitness clubs. These are the kinds of things that we're pushing our coordinators to develop and implement more.
Hey, so let's talk a bit about the latest one, Kate Steinle, that whole drama and affair. It's unbelievable, the ruling on this thing. But I was there quickly and did a little bit of a vigil, right, at the place where she was murdered?
Yeah, so the Kate Steinle thing has been a very serious issue in the Bay Area for people, involved in the alt-right and identitarianism, because it hits very close to home. And not even just people in the alt-right. Obviously, anyone who is concerned about the issue of sanctuary cities and the issue of illegal immigration really sees Kate Steinle's murder as an example of just how bad things really are in this regard. So back in October of 2016, Identity Europa, including myself, went up to Pier 14, which was the site of Kate Steinle's murder, and we did a flash demonstration raising awareness about, just how dangerous the sanctuary city policy is. You guys can check that out on our Twitter and on our YouTube channel. Somewhere recently, after the news broke that Kate Steinle's murderer was acquitted, members of IE up in the Bay Area decided to go out. They mobilized very quickly, and they went out there with candles, with roses, with a picture of Kate Steinle, an American flag, to create a little shrine to honor her memory.
All right, so Patrick, what would you say the relationship with other organizations will be, since there are these rumors that, you guys are going to disconnect from all these other, the white advocacy movement in the broader
right.
sense?
Well, after Charlottesville, we kind of reached the conclusion that Identity Europa, when it comes to official activism, is going to essentially just do Identity Europa stuff. I personally don't have any issues with people in other organizations. I think that one approach isn't going to be enough to win everyone over. So that's why I think that multiple approaches is often, warranted. However, when it comes to, informal meetups, when it comes to people hanging out behind the scenes, these kinds of things, we're not going to limit people to only hanging out with Identity Europa members or anything like that. That would just be ridiculous. Because the movement, as we come to know it, has many layers that overlap. So it's when it comes to doing things like flash demonstrations, when it comes to flyering, when it comes to doing banner drops, that's just going to be IE members doing it to essentially promote IE and our ideas. But as I said, when it comes to hanging out, when it comes to communicating and so forth, there aren't really any strict standards when it comes to that.
Maybe we should remind people, too, and I think this is a good point to mention, that ultimately I think people need to remember that it's about the goals of what all the various organizations are fighting for, which are the essential points, that there might be evolutions, there might be cell divisions, so to speak, to make a metaphor of what happens when things grow. You basically have a cell division at that point, and it seems to be the nature of it, just like any religion, anything that grows have a schism at some point, a fork, if you will. But ultimately, it's about the ideas and the goals of what all these things combined are fighting for. That is the most important thing, and not the organizations themselves. That's what I would say anyway. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that you can separate, you can differentiate between the movement and the cause. The cause is the struggle, against globalism, the struggle to, preserve our homelands and our culture and so forth. The movement is that, kind of ideological struggle manifesting in the real world. So you have the people, you have the institutions, the organizations, and media outlets like Red Ice and so forth. When it comes to the actual movement itself, a number of different approaches are going to be employed realistically. We can't expect everyone to see things the same way. And I think we just have to accept that as being a fact of life at this point. But that doesn't mean that we can't retain friendly relations, even if we have differences in approach and disagreements as far as strategy is concerned.
All right, interesting. So, I think we could go on for some time, but I think that clarifies some of the details that you wanted to talk about and discuss. So I appreciate you coming on and sharing those with us. I think people out there, they do want to know what's going on and everything else, so that's good. But, yeah, I guess leave us with a little bit more info about the website, the organization part, Patrick, so people know where to go to support it, to become members and all that good stuff.
Right. So if anyone wants to join Identity Europa, I would definitely recommend they go to identityeuropa.com/apply. You can go there, fill out an application. We have a very in-depth interviewing department. We have multiple layers of vetting, so you know that you're going to be in good hands. And other than that, I do want to say as well that please help us out with this legal fund. We are in a very serious situation. I have complete confidence that we can win so long as we can raise the funds necessary for our legal defense. And so to do that, you can go to our website, identityeuropa.com/donate, or you can look for our Patreon, and you can find that on our Twitter.
All right, good stuff. Thank you, Patrick, for coming on. Really appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
All right, guys, thank you for joining us here this evening. A short and sweet update for you on what's been going on with Identity Europa. Thanks to Patrick for joining us and giving us some of that information, some of that update. We are, of course, going to be back with much more here in the next couple of days. More radio shows, live shows, videos, and interviews for you. Do make sure that you support what we do. One way of doing that is giving us a like if you're watching this on YouTube. You know, first I just thought that it was for show, basically, but obviously it turns out that there's some of the algorithms on the back end that does aid the video in terms of how it shows up as related and rising on the various charts and all that stuff. If they haven't just shadow blocked us altogether, I still do see the videos coming up as related here and there, even as not being logged in. So I guess there's some glimmer of hope in that dark tunnel of YouTube censorship after all. So make sure that you give us a thumbs up if you like the video. It does help. That's why everyone annoys you with that all the time and asking for that. And also subscribe to our YouTube channel, by the way, because I found out looking at some of the analytics that about 50% of the viewers that we have on YouTube are actually not subscribed. So for Christ's sake, make sure that you subscribe. It's, what is it, down here somewhere, the subscribe button. Do that right now. I'll wait here in the meantime. Do it now. Come on, I'll give you a few seconds here. Just click subscribe. It's very easy. And then when you do, make sure you click the little bell as well to get the notifications so that you see, you know, on your phone or desktop when we have a new show up or we're going live, because we do live shows as well. So thank you for that. Thumbs up, subscribe, all that good stuff. You can also sign up for a membership with us, redicemembers.com. This is how we stay alive. This is how we can bring you radio shows, interviews, videos, live shows, and all that good stuff. We are literally just a couple of days away from launching the site. We're doing some of the design features and updates as we speak. And once we have that in place, we'll launch the site. I'll make a separate video about that, and we'll do a real large membership drive because we want it, we need it, we need to grow. We're going to get a bigger studio, employ more people, and things are just going to explode from here. And we do need your support to be able to do that. So definitely sign up with us, redicemembers.com. If you do want to give us a donation, you can do that at paypal.me/redice. Thank you so much to everyone who supported us during the hack period. All right, but we'll wrap up right there. Thank you so much, guys. Have a great rest of your evening wherever you are. We will talk more soon. Take care. Have a good one.